Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way.
Had a pleasant good morning. Thank you so much for joining us for Freedom's Call. This is Pat Githens. Today we're in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 35, and we're talking about a spiritual harvest as we find it there in those verses of Scripture. And you find your place, John chapter 4, verse 35, for those of you who have Bibles with you, and we'll be talking about that in just a moment. Again, I want to thank you for joining us here on Freedom's Call each week at this time. In verse 35 of John 4, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest." So we look at that for a moment, and you know, some were saying here, his disciples said, "Do you not say it's yet 4 months until harvest time? But I say to you, look at the fields, they're already white unto harvest." And so we're talking about a spiritual harvest of souls today. And we go back and we understand that God the Father sent Jesus to die for sinners on the cross of Calvary so sinners could be saved. And Jesus established his church to go forth and win lost souls to himself by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people as they encountered them. And so we know that soul winning is at the heart of God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The Bible says people are wise to win souls. And yet we see that this is one of the most neglected ministries in our churches today, and yet it is the primary purpose that the churches exist or should exist today. Jesus, when he established his churches, or his local church, I should say. Over in Matthew chapter 28, he gave it marching orders. He gave it a commission and told them this is what he expected them to do. First of all, he said, "I have all authority given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore," and by that, I believe he's saying to them, this authority is also on you. "Take this authority and go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you." So he's telling them to go forth and win souls. And we know that these people that gladly receive the gospel and are saved, they are brought into the church, baptized, and then made disciples. That is, they're taught the commandments of the Lord, they're taught the word of God, trained to go forth and do the same thing, taking the gospel, winning souls, bringing them to the church, seeing them baptized, added to the church, and being discipled. Then we find, too, that Jesus had a lot of concern over the lack of response to the gospel preaching. If we look at Luke chapter 13, and verse 34, Luke 13 and verse 34, we will see here that we're talking about his concern over the city of Jerusalem. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." And then if you go to Luke 19, Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, and we will see there, Luke 19, verse 41, "And now as he drew near, he saw the city," speaking of Jerusalem, "and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes." He wept over the city of Jerusalem because of their lost spiritual condition. Paul had great concern for lost Israel. We look in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, and there Paul said, "Brethren," pardon me, "my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." So he had a burden for the lost people of Israel in his day, his national kinsmen. And he said, I pray for their salvation. And he was very, very concerned about that. And so evangelism is the heartbeat of the church. We're to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and go out and preach it to people and to win souls for Jesus and see them being saved and brought into the church, being baptized and discipled and trained to go out and do the same work. But today, evangelism appears to be sidetracked in most churches. I go to meetings and I hear all of these reports about how churches are plateaued and many of them are in a state of decline and only a handful here and there have any significant growth. And then we get into discussions on what the cause is and how to correct it. And it all boils down to one thing. When a church plateaus and starts declining in its attendance and going backwards, look at the evangelism that's not being accomplished in that church. They've lost their zeal for evangelism. And you will find that the membership is not evangelizing as they should. And evangelism, as I said, appears to be sidetracked in the greater majority of churches today. And sooner or later, and I talked a week or so ago about the life cycle of a church, how it goes up and then plateaus and starts down, many of them. And when they get down to a place they cannot support themselves, that church closes its doors and out of business. But there's no great mystery as to the decline in membership or the decline in attendance is the lack of evangelism. Now, we also hear them crying about the lack or the decline in baptisms in many churches and in the various denominations. And again, you look at that and you see that there's a lack of evangelism in those churches. Well, let's look for three things here very quickly this morning. First of all, there is a danger for lost people being lost forever. Here we see that the people of Jerusalem would not accept Jesus as their Messiah. And in their rejection, they're facing the danger of being lost forever if they don't come to the realization of accepting Christ as their Messiah and turning to Christ and receiving the salvation that Christ offers. They're going to be lost forever. And then you see this today, that there's lost people out there that are unconcerned. They've gotten gospel hard, so to speak, and they're not interested in the church. They're not interested in the message of the church, and so they're going their own direction. And these people are in peril of being lost forever. So our job is to take the gospel message of Jesus Christ into a world that doesn't want to hear it and give it to them anyway. Preach it to people. I didn't want to hear it before I was saved. I really didn't want to sit down and visit with people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I didn't appreciate church people coming to my home and visiting in my home. If we had gone to church and visited in a church, I always tried to find out when their visitation night was, and I wasn't home that night. I didn't want to put up with them. But yet God took what I did here in those times that I did go or those times that I did talk with people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He took that and he worked it in my heart until such time as I had to surrender my life to Jesus Christ and received him as Lord and Savior of my life. So the danger of lost people rejecting the gospel message is that they might be lost forever. Then there's the danger of an eternity in a burning hell. Now, we talked about a burning hell a couple of weeks ago on this broadcast, and I know there's some listening that don't believe in a burning hell. Well, that's your problem, not mine, because the Bible talks about a burning hell. It talks about a lake of fire. And, of course, I guess if you're out of the Armstrong follower group, you would say, well, yes, there is, but when the judgment day and the lost are thrown into the fire, they're immediately consumed, and that's the end of it. They do not burn in that fire forever and forever and forever. And yet that's a denial of what the Scripture says, because the Scriptures teach that there is an eternal punishment in that fires of hell or that lake of fire. So a person that remains lost and dies in a lost condition will be spending an eternity in the burning fires of hell. Now, there is also, thirdly, there's the danger of missing heaven because of the indifference and unconcern of the local churches. A lost person could very well miss heaven because the church is not concerned enough to take the gospel to them, and not concerned enough to witness to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Indifferent to the souls that are lost that are all around us today. They're neighbors, they're family members, they're co-workers, they're fellow students. I'm telling you that there's too much unconcern and indifference in most of our churches today concerning those lost people that surround us. And many of them will die and go to hell. And yet the church doesn't even shed a tear. Jesus wept over the lost condition of Jerusalem. Paul was very, very concerned, and I'm sure shed tears over the lost condition of Israel. And you know, in our churches, in our Baptist and many of the Pentecostal churches and maybe others, years ago they had such a thing called a mourner bench. Many may still have them. I don't know. Baptists have pretty well gotten rid of them. But the old mourner bench, people would go down before the service started and begin to pray for God to do a work in their midst, and praying for the lost and praying for lost family members, and even weeping and shedding tears there at the mourner's bench. And then during the course of the invitation or the altar call, here they came again, and they'd gather there around those old mourner benches and cry out to God to save the lost and to and have concern for the lost. And what happened to the mourner's bench? What happened to the tears that the churches used to shed over lost people that were in danger of dying and going to hell? Where's that mourner's bench today? And you said, well, we don't have a mourner's bench. They just come down and kneel around a front pew or at the altar. But where do you see too much of that anymore? You don't see much of that in a lot of our churches today. I had a lady one time tell me, said, well, you don't have to go down to the front and pray. Well, you don't. You don't. But then again, instead of putting your coat on during the invitation, slapping the kids and waking them up and trying to get them ready to go as soon as the amen was said, you're not even spending time in your pew praying. Where's the concern for the lost people? In many churches today, 2/3 of the seats in the pews are empty. Nobody there in those pews, so nobody has an opportunity to get saved in those pews because there's nobody there. Empty pews never get saved. So we see a lot of unconcern, and we see a lot of indifference in our churches today concerning the plight of lost people. Going back to the book of Matthew in chapter 9, as I close very quickly now, verse 35. Verse 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Folks, there is a great harvest, and only a few to get into the harvest field and do the work. Pray about it. That's my time today. Thank you so much for joining us, and I trust that we'll get together next week at this same time. I am